When you're something like 25 years old and new to Alaska and trying to hunt, it can be really easy to learn a whole bunch of lessons the hard way, really, really fast. At least, that was the case for this particular person at 25. During the fall of 1992, I hawked my waterbed and bought a non-resident caribou tag and hunting license. I wasn't new to hunting, so somehow I took that to mean that I was ready for hunting in Alaska. A very big first mistake. I went on a hunting trip with the principal, my new boss. I had a new ATV, so that was a plus. We hunted right before school started, and the caribou were in velvet, so probably something like mid-August. I had hunting clothes, camo clothes. They were cotton, so that was another mistake. I only had my bow, and was feeling confident I could get within range. Yeah, I was wrong on that, too. We spotted a small herd fairly early in the day, and Steve, the principal, put down two bulls fairly quickly. He was a phenomenal shot. While he worked at field dressing them, he suggested I go try to score, so that's what I did. Over many hours, I was almost within range a few times, but never quite got close enough. I covered a lot of miles trying to get in front of moving caribou, believing I could run faster than they could walk. That was a huge mistake. Over the course of those many hours, I also became dehydrated, because I didn't have any water or anything else on me. Yet another huge mistake. If you substitute the word lesson for mistake, you'll realize that I was on a learning binge for pretty much the entirety of that day, and I remember it like it happened yesterday, not 28 years ago. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. The topic we're going to focus on today is the outdoors and beverages. But before heading down that road, I'd like to mention that in spite of all the things I did wrong that day, and it was a lot, hunting caribou for the first time, I filled my tag before we headed back to the village. Proof that the old saying about blind squirrels finding acorns once in a while is very, very true. Steve loaned me his pre-64 Model 70 Winchester in 30-06, and I managed to kill a young bull, my first meat for the freezer accomplishment in Alaska. Steve was a terrific guy, and the fact that I got to share that day with him is a part of why I remember so much about it. He insisted on hiking back to town, a distance of 7 very hard miles of hiking, I checked on Google Earth, with the antlers from his two bulls on his pack frame. I believe the idea was all of the meat traveled high and dry and safe on my ATV, and that's pretty much how it worked out. So, on with today. We need to be drinking something at all times, but I'm thinking along the lines of while we're doing outdoor stuff, like hunting and fishing and camping and hiking. In fact, it's really important because it's easy to get distracted and overdo it. My daughters are forever reminding me to drink something while I work on our cabin, because I get distracted, and by not staying hydrated, it eventually has a negative impact on what I'm trying to do. The same can be true with just about any outdoor activity. I'm not going to go into any depth about making sure your drinking water is safe to drink, though I've done that before and won't rule out that I might do it again. But not today. Suffice to leave it with a simple reminder to make sure the drinking water you use to stay hydrated is safe, whether that means you brought it from home or filtered it in some way from wherever you happen to be. Stay hydrated, but do it in a way that's not going to need a trip to the hospital when you get home. There are some hydration angles to consider. Prehydration is a great idea, as it helps to reduce fatigue if you know you're going to be exerting a lot of energy, such as before a long stalk on an animal or packing out a moose. Hydrate before you start. In terms of strictly hydration, sugary or alcoholic beverages are generally not the route to go, though maybe they have a place during another part of your outing. You might not think about what you're wearing, but appropriate clothing is important to maintaining your body temperature, which feeds into the hydration equation. Food choices can also factor in, as eating stuff that's high in sodium, for example, is going to make you thirstier. I say that even as I know that jerkies of various sorts are one of my favorite snacks to have while I'm hunting. The bottom line, a lot of us probably need to remember to hydrate more often than we actually do. There's another angle to consider when it comes to beverages in the outdoors, and I'm thinking of them as they add to the ambiance or experiences you enjoy while outdoors. I'm going to share that I don't drink alcoholic beverages. I know some folks like a beer or a whiskey around the campfire or in celebration after an animal is on the ground. I know folks who go this route. It's just not the one for me. I think the key word here is being responsible and recognizing what that means before you start. It's possible the biggest outdoor beverage, after water, is coffee. The smell, the feel of the cup, the taste. Coffee goes a long way for a lot of people, including yours truly. I remember a very cool, temperature-wise, fall hunt during the following fall after that first caribou, where we got rained on and we were soaked and we put into shore to wait out the storm. And the guy I was traveling with pulled out a beat-up aluminum pot, got a fire going, filled the pot with water, and dumped a bunch of coffee into the pot. The first cup was a magnificent cup in every possible way. I can still see the steam coming off it as it nestled in my cold hands. These days I proceed, typically in one of two ways when I make coffee while I'm camping or hunting or out for more than just one day. Sometimes I use the Folgers coffee singles, the ones that look like a tea bag. In my humble opinion, these are the best option short of making an actual pot. There are other instant coffees, but the Folgers singles have the best flavor and aroma. I find these really useful if I know I'm going to be limited on what I can have for a fire, or if I'm going to be the only one drinking coffee. My other coffee method is to make a pot in a blue enamel metal pot. I like the traditional look of the pot, which was an impulse buy at one of Dillingham stores a number of years ago. I like the coffee I can make in it, and I like it well enough that I use it at home as well, choosing to ignore the coffee maker my wife purchased. Irrespective of how it's done, coffee is very much a beverage of choice for the outdoors for a whole lot of people. Some folks prefer hot tea over coffee, and there's nothing wrong with that. I often carry tea bags with me as well, as a change of pace. I'm partial to either Earl Grey or English breakfast. I would note, a side note, on a personal level, that I like my coffee black and my tea unflavored or unsugared. Tea and coffee should taste exactly like that. Tea and coffee. Nothing is to be gained by adding flavor to either. For those of you that do, well, more power to you. My number one beverage, at home, at work, anywhere, is iced tea, and again, unflavored and unsweetened. During the course of an average day, I go through stunning amounts of it. Brewing it at home is easy enough, but more effort than I want to do when I'm living in a tent, so I'll often take along a small Tupperware container filled with instant tea to be added to my Nalgene bottle. This used to be easier to do when Dillingham's various stores still sold instant tea. Some people opt for different flavored drink mixes, such as Kool-Aid or Powerade-type drink mixes. In fact, I buy them for the kids to use during the two EE camps we have, and always seem to issue advice about mixing the correct amount, which almost always goes unheeded. I've watched the kids mix theirs up on occasion, and I'm not sure if what's in their bottle is a liquid or something that's more approaching a solid. The kids don't seem to care what the flavor is, just as long as it's not water. One of my hunting buddies always drinks a drink mix when we hunt. And I mean always, never water. And it has to be a red drink mix. I've hunted with him enough and watched him enough to know that this is very much a constant where his outdoor experiences are concerned. Speaking of the kids I take to camps, if you want to incite an insurrection, forget one or more of the following three items: ketchup for the hot dogs, the materials to make s'mores, and hot cocoa. I have on occasion forgotten to purchase one or more of those three items and was left wondering about my safety over the course of the rest of the trip. Cocoa is very much a beverage that can add to the ambiance of an outing, particularly in cold weather. I don't drink a lot of it anymore, though I do indulge from time to time. And I'm very much in the camp of needing marshmallows to complete the cocoa. There are other things where beverages are concerned. I have one hunting buddy that always brings a few cans of his favorite soda. I've been known to bring a few cans of my favorite carbonated flavored water. Whatever the case, whatever it is that you find palatable, remember to first stay hydrated, and then to enjoy whatever it is that trips your trigger for in camp or around the campfire. There are so many little things that go into the time we spend outdoors, and what we choose to drink is certainly one of them. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.